Hey, if any of you have some cash to give to Hameen, I already brought some with me. I'm going to give her some money to help her with her travel. So if any of you have any cash on you, I don't know if you'd be able to cash a check, but if you don't have any cash on you, you can help her. I know she'll appreciate that. She can have something to eat, because Korea will be a long way to go. Amen. All right. God bless you. Thank you for your service to the Lord. I want to direct you to the Gospel of John chapter 14. If you'll turn there with me. I planned a Christmas message from John 14:19. And that scripture, Jesus said, "A little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live, you shall live also." Because I live, you're going to live. And that'll be our Christmas message. But today I want to backtrack and just go to the first part of the chapter today. And I want to particularly focus on verse number 3, where Jesus said, let me just start at the beginning here, John 14:1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions," or dwelling places. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Notice that Jesus said, "I will come again and receive you to myself." Now, what does that mean when he said, "I will come to you"? A lot of times people assume that that is referring to the second coming of Christ, but I don't think so. Not to say that I don't believe in the second coming of Christ. We know that Jesus said in Revelation 22:20, "He which testifies these things say, surely I come quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Beloved, I believe the next great event on God's calendar is the second coming of Christ to this world. But did Jesus mean about his second coming in this John 14:3? I don't think so. I think he's talking about more of a present tense coming. That Jesus meant, "I'm coming now to you, and I'm going to come and get you when you die. I'm going to come and get you, and I'm going to take you to heaven." That's what I think this really means. I will come again. I'm ever coming. And so Jesus, the coming of Jesus was not just limited to the Lord's second glorious coming in the last day, or even to any special coming, like, and I believe the Lord came on the day of Pentecost and empowered the church and gave glorious signs and wonders at that time. He came at that time. But rather, I think when he said, "I will come to you, I will receive you to myself," he's talking about more of a continual coming. And really, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to dwell with us. And you know what that is? That's really the presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit coming to dwell with us as we go through the world. Now, the occasion of these words we find in John 14 really springs from John chapter 13. And you understand that the disciples were very sad because Jesus had told them that he was going to have to go away. All that took, these words took place the night before the crucifixion of Jesus. And so they were troubled because Jesus had told, well, for one thing, he told them that some one of them would betray him. Well, that troubled them. Wouldn't it trouble your heart if Jesus said, one of you's going to turn on me and betray me? Well, all of those disciples were troubled about that, concerning it. And so Jesus said, now, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry about that. So they were very much hurt. You know how much it hurts to see your loved one leave. But Jesus anticipated their sadness and anxiety, and I think he wanted to encourage them to understand that, their real home was going to be heaven. It wasn't going to be permanently on earth. And I am always reminded whenever I read this scripture, I think about Henry Morrison, who was one of the famous missionaries to Africa. Henry Morrison served the Lord in Africa, him and his wife, for over 40 years. And eventually, like all preachers and pastors and missionaries, you hang it up, it's time to retire. And so they left Africa, and back in those days, the early 1900s, they didn't have Boeing 747s. They didn't have that kind of travel. You had to travel by ship, and it would take you weeks to get from like Africa to back to America. And so they took a ship from Africa back to New York City, and on the boat, they didn't know that on this same boat from Africa to New York was the president, Teddy Roosevelt, president of the United States. He was also on board that ship, and he had gone to Africa on a hunting trip. He was a big game hunter, that president. Well, when the ship pulled into New York, the missionary, they went out on deck to see if anyone was there to welcome them, and they saw thousands of people cheering, bands were playing, there were signs and banners and billboards saying, "Welcome home, welcome home." Well, Henry and his wife were so excited about the crowds that had come to welcome them back from Africa. But when they went to get off the boat, they realized that all the people were gone. The signs were gone. The billboards were gone. You see, those thousands, they hadn't come to welcome Henry the missionary. They came to welcome home Teddy Roosevelt, the president. Well, Henry Morrison went to his hotel room with a heavy heart. As he sat there on the bed, he said, "Honey, I don't get it. 40 years we've poured our lives into the ministry and serving God and being a missionary, and now yet we come back home, we come to America, and not even one single soul came to welcome us back home." His wife sat down next to her husband, and she put her hand on his shoulder and comforted him and said, "Honey, never forget, you're not home yet." That's what Jesus was saying to these men who had walked with him for 3 years, had ate with him, slept with him, walked with him, heard him teach, heard him preach. What he was really telling them, don't be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Hey, if you believe in God, believe also in me, because my Father has a big house, and in that big house there are many dwelling places, and I'm going to come and get you. I'm going to come get you, and I'm going to take you home to heaven. Be encouraged by that. Jesus comes to bring us home to heaven. And I think in all of that, you know, he comes to resolve our trouble with his truth. Don't let your heart be troubled. You know, that's found twice in the chapter, in the scripture. It's also found in verse 27. And so, as I said, the hearts and disciples were quite troubled and fearful, and they were troubled at the thought that someone was going to betray the Lord, as you read in John 13. And I think they were all suspicious. Is it me? I hope it's not me. And so that greatly troubled them, but Jesus wanted to put their troubles and fears to rest. Don't be troubled if you believe in me, because if you really believe in me, you're not going to betray me. And there was another reason that they were troubled. Jesus told these disciples that he was going away. He mentioned that in John 13 and verse 33. He said, "Little children, just a little while I'm with you. You shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. And so now I say unto you, I'm going away, but you can't come to where I'm going." And what Jesus was referring to is he was going to ascend back to heaven. And he said, you guys can't come with me there. You're going to have to stay here on the earth. And so, you know, the disciples were troubled about that because they had become so dependent upon Jesus for everything. And they had left everything that they knew just to follow Jesus, to be his disciples, to be his servants. And sometimes I know as a minister of the gospel, I left my home. I left my mom and dad. I left my brothers and sisters. I left my friends. I left the church that I loved and went yonder into the fields of ministry, into different places. I haven't lived in Kentucky now for 50 years, and I don't know if I'll ever go back to live there. This is home for us now. This is where God has placed us. But our Lord gave solutions for troubled hearts. The solution for a troubled heart really revolves around three things. Number one, we believe and know a person. We know Jesus. That's enough. I mean, it doesn't matter what condition you're in, where you're living. I mean, if you know Jesus as your Savior, don't let your heart be troubled about anything. I tell you, everything will be great. Everything's going to turn out okay because you know the Lord and he's with you. So we believe and know a person. That's one thing. And number two, we have assurance of heaven. Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you where I live, well, up there in heaven. And I'm not only going to prepare you a place, I'm going to come and get you." Now, you know, all the songs talk about a big mansion in glory land and all that. I don't know that we're going to have a mansion up there in heaven. I know people say that, but when he said a place, he's talking about a dwelling place. I know this much. Jesus, we're going to live with him. Huh? We're going to live in his house. Isn't that great? And I tell you what, we'll probably have at least a billion of the best next door neighbors that you could ever imagine. What a wonderful thing that is. We know a person. We have assurance of a place in heaven. And then number three, we can receive the promises of God. So you could say it this way. We have him, we have a home, and we have a hope. I love that. So the Savior told these men that their consolation was to be found in confidence in God the Father and in him. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know why? Because the Father and the Son are equal. In fact, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." I know there are difference in persons, but we believe in the Trinity. The Father and the Son and Holy Spirit as one God, yet revealed or manifested in three persons, but yet there's a oneness in them. What a mystery that is. So he told them that their consolation was found in God the Father and in Him. And Jesus wanted them to understand that even though He was going away, He wasn't going to leave them. He would still be with them. He would be with them through the Holy Spirit. He said, I will come to you. I'll come to you in the person and power of the Holy Spirit of God. And, you know, the Bible speaks also of the Spirit of Christ. So again, Jesus states His equality with God the Father. And we have to live by faith, even as, you know, as the disciples would have to live by faith. And, you know, I remember when Jesus rose from the dead, that He appeared to His disciples. They were having church in an upper room, and Jesus, the resurrected Christ, appeared in that upper room and showed His hands and His feet to those disciples, and they were in disbelief, of course, but they were, the Bible says they were glad. Man, they were glad to see the risen Christ. But Thomas wasn't there. He missed church. You never know. If you miss church, you might miss something really big and something really important. And Thomas missed something really important when he missed church. And the disciples said, man, you should have been here. You can't believe what happened. Jesus appeared to us in His glorified body, in His glorified state. Thomas, He's alive. And Thomas said, I don't think so. I watched Him die. He was buried in a tomb. I don't believe that. And he said, except I can see the print nails in His hands and in His feet, I'm not going to believe what you guys tell me. And just as soon as he said that, guess who showed up? Jesus came back in that room. And I believe Thomas, his eyes got real big and his mouth went agape. And the Lord Jesus said, Thomas, come over here. Now put your finger in these scars in my hands that I got on the cross. Touch my side where they pierced the spear in His side. And Thomas fell on his knees. You know what he said? He said, my Lord and my God. He knew right away that Jesus was Almighty God. Yes. Now listen. Jesus wanted them to continue to trust Him for life and the future. And that's what you have to do. Number one, if you've never been saved, you need to realize that the only way you can be saved, the only way you can be forgiven of your sin, is by coming to Jesus Christ and owning Him as your Lord and Savior. And that's number one. That's the most important thing. You have to trust Him as your Savior for eternity, or you won't go to heaven. It's just as simple as that. Now, I know that there are other religions, but they try to earn heaven by fear or good works or religious rites or rituals. But listen, Christianity alone teaches that the way to heaven is exclusively by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You cannot go to heaven without Jesus. Hear me now. You will never go to heaven without Jesus. If Jesus said, if you believe in God, now watch that, what did He say? If you believe in God, believe also in Me. Why? Because I'm God too. A lot of people say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. Well, you don't understand what Jesus meant. He meant that He was equal with God the Father. Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jehovah of the New Testament, Jehovah Jesus. They're one. So if you come to God, you come to Jesus. And that's what he's saying, that, and other religions say no, but the Bible exclusively says in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Get that? You can't go to heaven without Jesus. Understand what I'm saying to you. If you believe in the one true God, you must believe in Jesus Christ as your only Savior. And we read in verse 2 that the Lord is preparing a place for us who believe in Him. He's preparing a place in heaven. I don't know much about that, but I know this. You know what it's like when you've gone on a far trip, like I mean here, come from Korea to a strange country and eating strange food, probably coming from Korea, eat Korean food. And by the way, Korean barbecue is really good. I've had it many times. But coming here, imagine coming, eating Korean food, come to America to eat Philippine food. So strange. And then eat American food. I'm surprised your stomach not really hurting you by now. But what is it like? You go to a strange place. And I've traveled abroad. I've traveled internationally to countries and enjoyed the trips. But boy, there's no place like home, right? You feel at home, right? You know that's the way it's going to be when we go to heaven. You think this is your home? Listen, when you get up there into heaven, when Jesus comes and said, come on now, I'm come for you. You may be in a hospital bed. You may be in hospice. You may be sick. And Jesus said, come on home. I thought that was going to happen when I was driving my car last night. But Jesus said, come home. And when you get up there, you're going to know this is my real home. I mean, this is really it. This is really my really true home, a heavenly home. And Jesus, listen, if I understand this right, Jesus is coming in person to conduct us to our wonderful heavenly home. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is going, you say, I thought the angels came and took us up there. Well, Luke 16, there's a parable where the Bible said the angels took Lazarus up to heaven. So what about that? Well, all I can tell you is if the angels are coming, Jesus is going to be with them when he comes to take us to our home. So he comes to bring assurance for our anxiety. Don't be troubled. I will come to you. And Jesus promised that he would come to them in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And that word comfort there is another name for the Holy Spirit, is the Greek word paraclete. And it means that God comes right alongside you like he put his arm around you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So Jesus said, I'm coming for you. And really, the Holy Spirit's ministry is to just, you know what he does? He keeps on reminding us of Christ's presence with us. And so we read here Philip, you know, in John 14. Well, he was somewhat confused about these words. Or Thomas said it. Thomas said, we know not where you're going. Where are you going? How can we know the way that you're going? We don't know. This is confused. We don't know where you're going. Are you going to give us a map on how we can get to where you are? Jesus said, no. But you don't have to worry about that. He assured them that he would be coming to take them to heaven. I'm going to come for you. Don't worry. Don't worry. And it'd be easy to worry, wouldn't it? I mean, if a doctor told me and said, Mr. Sled, you only got 6 months to live. Do you think I'd be worried about that? Probably. I'd probably have my calendar out, looking at that calendar, and said, well, that's a month has gone by. I'm okay. 2 months have gone by. I'm okay. 3 months have gone by. Still a little bad, but doing okay. You'd be counting down those months. But just because a doctor tells you you only got 6 months doesn't mean you just got 6 months. That's up to Jesus. He may want you to only have 2 months. Or he may want you to have two more years. It's up to him, really. The doctors are pretty good about predicting things, but they don't know everything. But Jesus knows everything. And so Jesus told Thomas, don't worry about that. He assured them that he was going to come at the right time. When the right time comes, I'll tell you what will happen. When it's time for you to leave. Somehow, some way, Jesus is going to come to wherever you are and he's going to take you by the hand and he's going to come on home. You say, how do you know that Jesus is with you? I talk to him every day and he talks to me. I read his word every day. And I know that you cannot see him with your physical eye, but that doesn't mean he's not near. I see him with the eye of faith. And he always assures me that he's there walking with me, helping me through the day. I tell you folks, I talk to him quite a bit about a lot of things, about most everything. I ask him about things. He speaks to me. He tells me things. And he promised that he would come and get us when it's time for us to go to heaven. You know, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, how are you going to be with the Lord if he doesn't come get you? He's going to lead you. He's going to get you. What a wonderful thing. But he comes to take us out of this world into heaven. Heaven is the home of every believer in Christ. Are you a believer in Jesus? Then heaven is your home. Wow, you got something amazing to look forward to. You may not even have a home here. A lot of homeless people here. You may not even have a home, but you know what? If you're a child of God, you do. You have a home up there. And the Lord knows your need. But I've always said that every person needs three homes. Number one, they need an earthly home where they're loved and accepted. And that doesn't have to be a palace or a mansion or even a 3,000-foot custom-built home. It doesn't have to be that. I mean, if all you got's a one-room deal and that's your home, that's home. And every person needs a home where they're loved and accepted. And then I think every person needs a church home where they can worship and fellowship and where they can learn the truth. I'm thankful for my church home. And then everyone needs a heavenly home where they're going to live with God forever. So Jesus spoke about his Father's house. Oh, listen, the Father has a big house with many dwelling places in that house. You know, the Bible says heaven is a city. But did you know, according to Hebrews chapter 11, it says that they desire a better country. So whether you're a city folks or country folks, heaven's going to have it all for you, no matter what lifestyle that you live. And what I tell you, heaven is a place of peace and beauty, a place that is radiant with the very presence of Jesus Christ. I think of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I tell you, I've never been to heaven, but can you imagine how wonderful it is? And our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes to show us how to get to heaven. Thomas said, how can we know the way? Here's what Jesus said. Verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. You see, God the Father sent His Son into the world to die on a cross as a substitute for lost sinners. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ, after they crucified Him and He died on the cross for our sins, they took Him down to a garden tomb, probably very near Golgotha's hill. I've been there. And they took Him down to that tomb and laid His body on that slab in that tomb. They thought it was all over. Those disciples, that's it. That's it. But wait a minute. 3 days later, on that third day, Jesus was quickened to life. And He rose from death. And that's when the disciples saw Him. And He was with them for several days. And then we read about how He ascended back unto heaven. And the Bible says God raised Him from the dead. And what that means is simply this. Can you show me any other religion that has a Savior that died for their sins and rose again? Name any world religion or any religious god. I guarantee you they're buried. Their bones are still where they're buried. But not Jesus. He is the Son of God. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way of heaven. I am the truth of how you're going to get there. You can't come to the Father except you come in faith to His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way because I'm the only God. And I am the truth. I am the truth. I know we live in a pluralistic society where people claim that, well, they say, well, all religions can get you to heaven. There are many pathways to get you there. That's what the world says. Well, they're lying. That's not true. Either Jesus lied or the world's lying. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can't get to heaven except you come to me. The world says, oh, you can go a lot of different ways. Who's lying? I'll stick with what Jesus said. I'll stick with what the Bible says. I tell you what, you say, that's pretty narrow, preacher. I mean, that's a pretty narrow. Well, it is. But you know, a lot of things in life are very narrow-minded. I mean, if you don't believe that, I'll tell you what you do. Go down tomorrow to the bank and get your checkbook and write out a check for $2 million and say, hand it to that bank teller and say, I want to cash that. See how far you get with that. Why, they'll cart you off to jail. That's what they'll end up doing. They're exclusive, aren't they? Tell the math teacher, well, what's 2 plus 2? I believe it's 3. Well, that's... No, honey, that it's not. 2 plus 2 is 4. Oh, you're too narrow-minded. You're a bigot. Because I believe that 2 plus 2 is 3. Well, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth. The only truth. The way of... It's narrow, I realize that. But Jesus is not just one truth amongst other truths. He alone is the truth because He alone is the one and only true God. So when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you're not going to be misled. He won't mislead you. You will know the truth and the truth shall set you free. But Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth. And then He said, I'm the life. Notice that, I'm the life of this wonderful heaven. I am the way to peace and satisfaction for this life and beyond. And I think of what the psalmist said in Psalm 17:15. He said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You know what that means? You're never going to be truly satisfied till you're in heaven. It's just a fact. Have you ever been really satisfied with what you are, what you have in life? Well, maybe you say to a point, I guess. But we always want something more, don't we? We want something bigger. We want something better. We want something more. And then when we get it, we're only happy with it for just a little while, aren't we? And then it loses its fun. It loses its value. But I tell you, when you get to heaven, you'll be satisfied. You'll be totally satisfied with what you have when you wake up in heaven and you see the blessed face of that one that loved you and gave his life for you. He is the truth to secure you. Jesus is more than just a religion to me. He's my life. And I love him and I want to live for him. I know I fail in many ways, but I want to love him and live for him. But I tell you what, the best is yet to come. I read about a Christian lady that passed away. She was a dedicated believer. And they had her funeral down at the funeral home, and people went by to see her laying in the casket. She would lay in there. But there was something strange about that lady. Everyone that walked by that casket looked at her, and she had a big fork in her hand. She's holding a fork, laying there, holding a fork in her hand. And finally, someone said to her daughter, I don't want to be disrespectful, but can you tell me why your mama's laying there with a fork in her hand? She's dead. Why she got a fork in her hand? And the daughter said, well, we used to have dinners at Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving, and my mom loved to cook, but she always said, save your fork for dessert. The best is yet to come. Wow. But listen, Jesus gives us an intimate knowledge of our Father God. So to believe in Jesus is also to believe in the Father. And you will know the Father God when you believe in the Son of God. I guess Philip or Thomas, all these men, they wanted something visual. I believe these men had faith, but yet they wanted more. I understand that. And they would see the resurrected Christ. And they would watch him ascend back to heaven. But for us, the Bible said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Folks, I'm satisfied that I believe in Jesus today. He's done so much for me. He saved my soul. I tell you, he's given me hope. I know I've got a home up there in heaven. Praise his name. I know I have not seen him literally with these eyes of flesh. But I tell you, Brother Mark, I see him with the eye of faith. Amen. Jesus is everything. Everything to me. And I hope he's everything to you. And I hope you know him as your Lord and Savior. If not, will you come to him now? You know, he said, as many as received him, them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. I urge you to be ready for heaven. We don't know when, the unexpected can happen. We just don't know And I thought about that. We were driving back from dinner last night. And I said, honey, all of our ladies that sit right down here, they're all gone. And we just can't get over it. But my wife said, that's because they're getting older. I said, well, I know you're right about that, but I sure miss them. I know Marie misses them. But the unexpected happens, doesn't it? And we just don't know what today, even tomorrow, holds. I don't know the future, but I tell you what, I know who's coming to get me. And Jesus is coming to get me. And you, if you know Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, strengthen our faith in these times to look unto You and to accept Your promises. And You promise that we don't have to be troubled in our hearts, that if we believe in You, not only will You save our souls, but You're going to come for us in life and even when it's our time to die. May we have comfort and assurance in these blessed words, Lord Jesus. I pray You'd continue to save souls, and I pray that You would, O Lord, help our people who are sick in the hospitals and set aside. We do pray You would restore them to health, that they can once again be with us. So bless each one now, and thankful for all who are here. And we'll give You glory and praise for Jesus' sake. Amen.